on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women who spoke, who took the spices, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who were with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Well, we're going to see in a minute from the Bible how we can be reassured and excited that Jesus really is alive. But first, I want us to play a game to test your senses, to see how sharp they are. Now, I was going to test your sense of smell, but I don't think the live stream would do very well with it, and you probably wouldn't thank me. So what we're going to do is I want to test your sense of hearing. So what I want you all to do is to close your eyes, and then I'm going to make some sort of noise, and then with your eyes still closed, I want, on the count of three, everyone to shout out what that noise is. Do we understand the game? Great. So everyone close your eyes. Close your eyes. What noise am I making? One, two, three.
Violin.
I won't make you endure any more of that. Close your eyes again. Noise number two. This one might be quite a loud noise, so prepare yourselves. One, two, three. A whistle. And finally, this is slightly harder. Again, keep your eyes closed. One, two, three.
Table tennis.
Table tennis, yes. Fantastic. Can't wait to get back in that. Well, it's amazing, isn't it, how even when we have our eyes closed, we can use our senses to become certain of something. All of your answers were incredibly confident, weren't they, considering you couldn't see what it was. Well, in our Bible story that comes just after our reading, Jesus' friends used their senses to become certain that the thing that seemed impossible was actually happening right in front of their eyes. So we're going to look at the moment when Jesus' closest friends are together in a small locked room trying to understand what is happening. Is Jesus alive or dead? Where is his body? Is this possible? And we'll do it in three scenes. So scene number one, they couldn't believe Jesus was alive. So this is Luke 24, starting at verse 36, just after Jesus had appeared on the road to Emmaus, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them,
"Peace be with you."
They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them,
"Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. My feet, 'tis I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.
So they were able to touch Jesus. They were able to hug him, to see the holes in his hands, to even give his hair a good ruffle. They could see Jesus. They could touch him, couldn't they? Thank you very much. And this is reassuring, isn't it? It's reassuring because we might find it hard to believe that Jesus really is alive. And maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, it can't possibly be true. This doesn't happen. All of our experience tells us that when people die, they stay dead. Well, that's what the disciples thought, wasn't it? Did you hear in our reading earlier what it said? The women came back from the tomb telling them all that they'd seen, all that the two men had told them, and how Jesus had risen. And their reaction, verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It all sounded ridiculous. Dead men stay dead. But then they saw Jesus. They touched him. They held him. They felt his breath. They smelt his smell so that they could be reassured that it was really him. And it's reassuring that Jesus is alive because it makes all the difference, doesn't it? Did you hear where the disciples were at this point? They were locked away in an upstairs room, hiding and mourning Jesus' death. They had thought that he was the Messiah, God's promised king, the one who would rescue them and who held out friendship with God and life with him forever. But if he's dead, well, all of their hopes are dead with him. But if Jesus is alive, well, that changes everything. Because Jesus' resurrection tells us that he is God's king. He is exactly who he says he is. And it means that his mission was a success. I wonder if you ever watch any of these action films with big explosions and undercover missions. Maybe you have in mind James Bond or Jason Bourne or something like that. Well, often in these films, they have that tense moment, don't they? Where the main character attempts a daring stunt to save the day, and then there's a big explosion, fireworks everywhere. But then you can't see him. And so the question is, well, has it worked? Has he saved the day? Has he done it? But then he comes out of the water or through the smoke looking $1 million. And you realize, yes, he's done it. He's saved the day. Well, what we have in Jesus is a rescue mission, isn't it? Jesus went to the cross to rescue us, to save us from our sin. See, sin is the serious problem that we all have. We're all those who've sinned, who have rejected God and his loving rule over us. And what our sin deserves is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, that is to be separated from God forever. That is how serious sin is. But that is exactly why Jesus came on his rescue mission, to deal with our sin problem, taking our sin upon himself at the cross, dying in our place, being separated from his Father so that we don't have to be. So the sting of death might be removed as our sin has been dealt with, meaning that we can be friends with God now and forever. But as Jesus dies, Like in the action movies, you might be left wondering, well, has he done it? Has he dealt with our sin? Can we really be friends with God? Well, as Jesus rises from the dead, we're meant to be saying, yes, he's done it. Jesus' resurrection announces to the world mission complete. Jesus has opened up the way for us to know God and be friends with him, so that anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith, that is saying sorry for rejecting him, turning to him as our Savior, trusting in his death for our forgiveness, and living now with him as king of our lives, can be welcomed into God's family, with him as our friend and our king. And that is incredibly reassuring, isn't it? They were reassured that Jesus was alive because they saw him and touched him, and so his mission was a success. Well, on to scene number two. They couldn't understand that his body was real. Verse 41, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them,
do you have anything here to eat?
They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Now, I don't have broiled fish, but I do have a tin of sardines. And it says he took it and ate it in their presence. It's nice having volunteers, isn't it? They handed him some food and he took it from them and he ate it in front of them. Thank you very much. But we're meant to see that this is exciting. As they saw Jesus take food from them, they could be absolutely sure that he was physically raised. When Jesus came back to life, he had a body that could take food from their hands and eat it right in front of them, that could walk and run and talk just like we can. And that's exciting because as Jesus was raised bodily, the promise of the Bible is that all those who trust in Jesus will be raised with him, with bodies just like his. As Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered death. Death couldn't hold him. And if we trust in Jesus, then death has no hold on us either. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that all those who trust in him will pass through death with him to new life with resurrection bodies. We've seen this last year, haven't we, the devastating effects that death has. Death is sad and unwelcome. We feel that, some of us, very personally at the moment. And it often feels scary. But amidst the natural sadness and grief that comes with death, the hope of the resurrection of Jesus is that death is not the final word on our lives. Glory is. Elsewhere in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, the picture of planting crops is used to get this across. So maybe, like me, you've been planting some seeds in the back garden or in pots like this. And what you do is you take your seed, you pop it in the ground. But the question is, will it work? You now can't see it. Once you put it in the ground, you don't know what's going on. But when that first seed sprouts out and comes into a crop, then suddenly you know it's worked. More is coming because it was a success. Well, as Jesus came out of the tomb, defeating death, raised physically before their eyes, he is like that first sprout coming through. More is to come. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that there is life beyond death in him, that he has defeated death. And so just like Jesus, all those who trust in him will be raised with physical bodies that can eat and drink and run and play football forever, just like Jesus could. And now you don't have to play football forever, but you could. And this is exciting, isn't it? The eternal life that Jesus brings through his death and resurrection, it isn't all harps and clouds and one big waiting room. No, the picture of the Bible, it is of a new creation, a physical place where we will be with God in his presence and with all other believers. Together physically in a glorious new creation where death and sickness and sadness will be no more. And all of this is just as certain as Jesus standing in front of them, taking some fish from them and eating it right before their eyes. And we're meant to see that is exciting. Well, on to the third and final scene. They couldn't see that this had always been God's plan. Verse 44, he said to them,
"This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and he told them,
"This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer, and on the third day will be raised from the dead. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Thank you very much. Well, what Jesus says here is both mind-blowing and amazing. But what we're meant to see here is that this is trustworthy. It's as if Jesus picks up a Bible and holds the whole of the Old Testament and he says, "This is about me. All of this has been to get you ready and to point forward to my coming, to my death and resurrection." So as God promised to Adam and Eve that an offspring would crush Satan's head as he was struck, it was to point forward to Jesus, who would inflict a fatal blow to Satan at the cross. As God promised to Abraham that through his offspring, a blessing would come to the whole world, it was getting us ready for Jesus, who would bring the blessing of friendship with God to anyone who comes to him. As God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt through the death of the Passover lamb into relationship with himself, we are being prepared for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who through his death would rescue us from slavery to sin that we might know God. As David, God's chosen king, a weak kid in Bethlehem, defeated the giant that they all feared, we were being shown Jesus, who beat the giants of sin and death that we fear. I could go on all day with Daniel and Noah and Joshua, books like Psalms and Isaiah, Jeremiah and Ruth, and I'd love to because it's so exciting and wonderful. But one thing here is abundantly clear. God's plan was always for Jesus to come, to live, to die and to rise again, to rescue sinful people and to rise again, bringing eternal life with him forever. It's what the whole Old Testament has been pointing towards, getting us ready for and promising. And God kept his promise, just as he said it would happen. And even now, God is keeping his word. Today, right now, all over the world, repentance for the forgiveness of sins is being preached. It started in Jerusalem, but it has spread and continues to go out as the wonderful good news of Easter is shared, even in this room. And so we can trust that God will keep his word and bring us home, because he is a God who keeps his promises. This is trustworthy. Jesus is alive, he is on the throne, and he will come back to take us home to be with him forever. So as we finish, as we look at the empty tomb, we hear the eyewitness testimony of those who saw and touched and ate with Jesus. We are to see that this is reassuring. Jesus really is alive. And his mission was a success. We can be friends with God today. This is exciting because just as Jesus was raised to new life physically, we will be raised with him, never to die. And this is trustworthy. It was always God's plan, and he will keep his word as he always does. And when we see all of that, then we will respond just like those first disciples did. Look with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 50. It says, when Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and stayed continually at the temple praising God. See, when we see just what they saw on that first Easter Sunday, then we will worship him. We will be filled with joy praising God for all that he has done for us in Jesus. Why don't I lead us in prayer now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Christ is our hope in life and death. We thank you for the wonderful assurance that we've seen and heard this morning that Jesus is alive. That we have here an eyewitness testimony of those who saw him and touched him and ate with him, so that they can be absolutely sure that he has risen from the dead, just as he said. We thank you that Jesus' resurrection does make all the difference. Thank you that it means that his mission is a success, that Jesus has dealt with our sin, removing death's sting for those who put their trust in him. Lord, we're so sorry that our sin took Jesus to the cross, that we are those who have rejected you and gone away from your word. But we thank you so much that Jesus willingly bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might be forgiven and given his righteousness. Thank you so much for Jesus. Amen.